two elderly gentlemen was having a conversation, and they happened to come across a topic about friends and enemies. And the friend asked of this particular man, say, "Do you have any enemies?" And the man replied, "Nope, I don't have any enemies." And the friend say, "Well, that's so maybe uncommon." Then the man replied, "Well, all my enemies have passed away." Love your enemies. Easy to say, but hard to do. Love your enemies. This may be the most difficult command Jesus ever gave. If you have got an honest-to-goodness enemy, loving your enemies may not be at the top of your list. Who are my enemies? Well, in the broader sense, an enemy is anyone who turns against me. And Jesus is not talking about enemies on the other side of the world. Jesus is talking about personal enemies who tend to be much closer to home, or others may refer to them as frenemies. Our enemies and our friends tend to come from the same group. We may even come to church and see people we would rather not see. We have to learn to deal with the people closest to us before we can impact the world around us. Some say friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. Nothing seems more natural than to hate those who have hurt us deeply. The world says, "Get even." God says, "Seek the good of those who have harmed you." The world says, "Get angry." God says, "Pray for them." The world says, "Don't waste time loving bad people." And God says, "Love them anyway." How can we do this? It's hard, no question about it. In 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and his mighty army took Daniel, his friends, and many into exile in Babylon. In 597 BC, he came once again for more. It was a humiliating experience. 70 years in captivity in a foreign land, ruled by pagans. In chapter 29 of Jeremiah, records a letter he sent to those in exiles in Babylon to encourage them. God's message is unexpected. What did Jeremiah say? "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prosper, you too will prosper." That is found in verse 7 in chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Seek the prosperity. Pray for them. There is a link. If they prosper, you prosper as well. God's word is very simple. "I put you in Babylon," he was saying to the Israelites. "I put you in Babylon for a purpose." He is a message from God to all of us this morning. We might be caught in a bad situation. Someone has hurt you deeply, and it's all you can do is not to strike back. with all your energy, you barely hold back the bitterness. You couldn't pray for your enemies if your life depended on it. But God says to do it anyway. That's the whole point of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. God ties their blessing to the blessing of the Babylonians. This seems counterintuitive. To say another way, you need Babylon, and Babylon needs you. You need enemies, and enemies need you. You say, what? Can you repeat that again? You need enemies, and enemies need you? We need to pray for our enemies, and they need our prayers. If you don't pray for our enemies, who will? If we don't pray for our enemies, how will they ever change? If we don't pray for our enemies, how will we ever be free from bitterness? Allow me very quickly to give you and offer seven suggestions that may move us in the right direction in dealing with this very challenging commandment. First one, greet them graciously. We can be very good at looking the other way. Duck into a room, cross the street to walk the other side of the road, or even using caller ID to reject the calls. But if we only greet our friends, what benefit is that? Do not even sinners greet each other? Smile, shake hands, and say hello to your enemies. It's a good first step. The second one is disarm them. Disarm them. This is the turn the other cheek or go the second mile stuff. You disarm them by doing the very thing they least expected. You do it by speaking well of them when no one expects it. General Robert E. Lee, American, was once asked his opinion of a fellow officer who was widely known as one of Lee's greatest detractors. The general responded that he thought the man was a very fine officer. But general, his questioner replied, quite perplexed, I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you. Oh, yes, I do, replied General Lee, but I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me. The third thing we can do good to them. It's fascinating that in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, love your enemies in verses 27 and repeats again in verse 35. Both times, he immediately added, do good to them, so we wouldn't miss the point. Love your enemies and do good to them. Doing good to your enemies means seeing beyond your pain and your meanness, or their meanness, I should say. It means seeing them as people made in the image of God and understanding there is something twisted inside that caused them to do what they do. You make the first move. You send the email. You pick up the phone, and you bridge the gap. Suggestion number 4, refuse to speak evil of them. That's what Jesus meant when he said, bless those who curse you. in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. It means you choose not to think evil thoughts, and you refuse to speak evil words against those who have wronged you. Refuse to speak evil of them. Suggestion number 5, thank God for them. I believe God places in our lives every person we need for our spiritual growth. He will send a Saul, a David, an Esau, a Daniel, an Absalom, an Esther, a Judas, a Barnabas, and a Timothy, and many, many more. God uses each one to teach you something and to make you more like Jesus. Behind your enemy stands the hand of God. 2 more to go. Pray for them. Pray for them, which I have already talked about early. Pray for your enemies. And the last one, ask God to bless them. Here's a simple way to do that. When faced with someone who has mistreated you, ask God to do for them what you want God to do for you. So these are the 7 suggestions. Let me offer one final word. Your enemy is a gift from God to you. That may be hard to accept, but I believe that is the truth. To say that is not to excuse evil or to condone mistreatment. It does not cancel the need of punishment or maybe even restitution. When a crime has been committed, it is to say exactly what Joseph meant when he said to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." That is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verse 20. Our enemies humble us. They keep us on our knees. They reveal our weaknesses, and they expose our desperate need for God in dealing with people. Therefore, we thank God who knows best, and we love our enemies the best way we can. It is a message from God that love is the only way. It is the only way to heaven. It's the only way to live on earth. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, even though it is very tough and challenging to grasp, maybe to understand, or certainly hard to act out. But Lord, with your help, we can love both friends and enemies, and we can pray for them, and we thank God for them. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.